Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 500. Science Faction, we made it!
I'm glad we made it to 500, despite the fact that we have a budget for, we have zero budget for Foley work. I mean, we don't even have a real air horn. I believe it's even like free to download an air horn sound effect, but we can't afford that.
So we have such little budget that anytime you hear something where like we're making a joke about Damien getting beaten up or something, I actually have to pummel Damien in the studio in order to get those sound effects.
I keep telling you, you haven't mic'd it. It doesn't come through on the recording. It hurts. You're not pulling back on the blows. I mean, is the goal just to hurt me? Wait.
Oh dear, I of course am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy, and with me as always is my comedian, Mr. Damien Mercado. Damien, how are you doing on this wondrous 500th of episodes?
I am doing fantastic. I thought I would have killed myself around 300, but here I am, fighting it out to 500.
No matter how many times the fans request it, you will not kill yourself.
I told myself I wanted to see how the apocalypse plays out.
And here we are in the middle of it.
Come November, I'll give you an update.
Guys, it's amazing that we have made it this far. I don't even think in my wildest dreams I would have thought this would have gone on this long, and I'm super excited that it has. It has been a crazy ride this past 7 years. We're going to go back and look at a bunch of stuff. Just a warning, today's episode, and 501, by the way, which will be basically the second half of this, they will be a little bit different than what we're used to. We're not going to do our normal science articles. We're not going to do I Call BS. This is actually going to be a celebration of science.
In the form of a spoken word slam poetry.
Yeah. Like, we are going to look back at clips, but I don't want you to think that this is going to be like that one Star Trek The Next Generation where they ran out of, like, they had a writer's strike and they just did a clip show as, like, one of the season finales. It is not going to be that. We are still going to have a show with just clips interspersed in between.
Instead, this is a holodeck episode, one of many. I believe Genghis Khan tries to kill me and Bobby this time.
No. I played Moriarty.
Ah, okay. It's Moriarty again. Good. There were a lot of unresolved questions last time he tried to murder us on this podcast.
So, yeah, we're going to go back and see some of those old episodes. We're going to talk about the history of Science Faction. We're going to talk about some of the hosts and some of the crazy moments that you probably don't even know about having just listened to it. We're going to talk about some of our favorite overall moments of the show. We're going to talk about some of the old bits that we used to do and some of our favorite versions of those old bits. And then we're going to talk about some of the interesting stuff Damien and I have actually learned doing this show ourselves over the past 7 years, and finish it off with some of our great fan interactions that we've had over this time span. This is going to be really fun. Damien and I are super excited. We have been planning this for some time, and we took quite a bit of work to make this show. We actually had to listen back to hundreds of hours of our own horrible science podcast show in order to get these clips and think back and remember a bunch of stuff that, frankly, we forgot.
I believe you're leaving something off. We had talked about this off mic, and it's weird that you're not bringing it up. You said that you would also reveal all the emails that you get.
Yes.
About me from I Call BS.
Yes, absolutely. 1 through 999,999, because obviously we can't go past a million. That's the rule. You know, we get more than a million emails on a weekly basis, but we can't go past that amount.
Your phone just gets too heavy from the emails and you can't pick it up anymore.
You know, you're making a joke, but it's true.
You're a dad. You have a back. You got to preserve it.
Indeed, this has been a very interesting dive. I have to say, I research these episodes, I write these episodes, we tape these episodes, I then edit the episodes, and it takes two or three listens of an episode to really edit it, and then I put it up, and frankly, I never listen to it again. Like, that's in general how it goes, unless sometimes a fan will link me something and be like, haha, I went through your back episodes, this is kind of neat, or hey, do you remember when you talked about this? And I will tell you, like, 85% of the time, no, I do not remember talking about that thing, unless there was a particularly funny dick joke associated with it.
Yeah, I listen to every episode we've ever done, and it's kind of like a self-flagellating thing, because like I'll listen to it and be like, that was a terrible joke, Damien. You're so stupid. You're so not funny. And the people are honking at me like, it's a green light. Go.
Yeah.
But going back and listening to doing all this research, I listened to it with a lens of less self-hate. And I was like, you know what? There are some funny moments. Bobby and I got something. Our 10 fans, maybe they're not blowing smoke up our patooties.
It has been a very interesting deep dive into this, and I advise you guys all to go check it out, because at least for the next few 2 weeks or so before our Patreon starts, all of our back episodes are still available for free. You don't have to be a patron to listen to it. You can go back and check it out. So I'm giving you that warning now. Eventually they will be Patreon only episodes far enough back, but I want you guys who are true fans, if it turns out you can't afford that or whatever later, if you're true enough fans to be listening to this near the time it comes out, then you will be true enough fans to be able to get access to those episodes without having to pay for them.
You know what? Brian Dunning has something with his Patreon and his great science podcast recommendation. Feel free to show some love, Brian Dunning, back this way. But Skeptoid. But he has a program where if you're an educator, and you can get access to, you can get a premium membership of his thing if you promise to show his content to kids. I think we should have something similar. If you promise to show our content to children, I am willing to forego any sort of Patreon requirement.
I will second that, and I will also add, we will include, if you are an educator, only if you're an educator, and I don't want you to lie about this, if you're an educator, we will include...
Not some scumbag showing kids podcasts.
No, we will include one picture of Damien's right testicle. And if you are an educator, but you don't teach kids, you are allowed to share this with adult students as long as you share with them the picture of Damien's swollen right testicle.
Swollen? And then you just kick me right before the picture. Why is it swollen, Bobby?
Oh, dear. This is going to be really fun. I had a blast listening to it. I had a blast setting this thing up. It's a ton of work, but I had a great time. I hope you guys have fun listening to it. And I hope you go back and like listen to some of these episodes that we reference while they're still free and available, not behind a Patreon wall. All right. So I wanted to start off with kind of the history of science faction. Some of you guys may have heard this before. If you heard the first episode, we had Dr. Nick on. We talked a little bit about the origins of science faction. So I won't bore you by repeating too much of that stuff, but I'm going to talk to you about some of the stuff that we didn't go into on that. That is quite interesting. So we'll start off with a fan question that we got. So this is a question that we got about a week ago when we announced we'd be doing this episode. And I asked if anybody had any fan questions. And one of the ones I got was, how did you guys meet? Now, that's kind of a broader story because we always have science guest hosts and all of those things. A lot of times I bring science guest hosts in from work that I do with the Reuben H. Fleet Science Museum here in town, or from different science. We have a lot of biotech industry here. So sometimes I will get hooked up with somebody from one of those biotech industries and I'll bring one of those people in. Our first guest host, which we're going to talk about in a second, who wasn't a guest host, they were our permanent science host, was our friend Jackie, who I happen to have known since from very early age, from like early elementary school. However, in terms of me and Damien, how did we meet? We met on the first day of seventh grade of junior high in gym class.
I was the popular girl, and I didn't even know Bobby existed. And it turns out he sat next to me during a lot of classes. It wasn't until after high school, we were just at a singles bar, and he's like, hey, I've had the biggest crush on you for years. I've always wanted. And then we got to talking, and we're like, let's start a podcast.
Well, first thing is wrong is, as you well know, other than gym, there wasn't a goddamn class on earth that you and I would have been in at the same time. That is, we were on very, very different academic tracks. And the only chance you would be in any class other than gym that I was in would be if you had been confused and walked through the wrong door trying to get into your class.
I think they had like home ec. We could have had home ec. That was a requirement.
You would not have got into AP Home Ec, I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, the souffle fell. The way I remember it was, yeah, we had PE, and I was used to being the funny kid in like first through sixth grade. You know, the big leagues of comedy.
Sure.
And finally, for the first time, this guy told improv this story about obese pigeons. And he was the guy because we had lockers next to each other in gym. Told me the story, and for the first time, I was like the guy rolling around laughing, and I was like, man, I gotta hang out more with this guy. This guy's funny. That's the way I remember meeting Bobby.
Yeah, yeah. Humor brought us together, not science. That was our thing. And similarly, I also found Damien very funny. You know, gym class was great, but I didn't know that Damien would be a lifelong friend until, and Damien, I know you'll remember this, a few months after we first started going to school, we were friends, it was great, we're hanging out, but I knew you'd be a lifelong friend when we were at a birthday party for a friend of ours, a mutual friend, and it was one of those things where they had like a pizza party thing, and there was a private upstairs room where you had a table, and you know, you'd lay all your stuff down, you'd go around stairs down and then play. Damien and I were up on top of there, and I looked down the stairwell that leads down to the bottom floor where you go around and play arcade games and stuff, and I looked at it and I casually said, Damien, you think I can survive that jump? And to get this joke, you must understand that at this time I was morbidly obese, and Damien's response without missing a beat was, he looked up and he went, yeah, but could the earth? Which, to this day, is probably one of the best burns I've ever heard in my life. And I immediately thought, all right, this is going to be a lifelong friend.
You have to understand, I am the Anderson Silva or the John Jones of fat shaming, of fat jokes. And I was good long before I met my chubby friend, Bobby.
But yes, but Bobby, I really became your gym. Yeah.
That sharpened, you sharpened the blade.
Oh, it was great. It was great. So we became close friends, and then basically for the rest of our lives. We stayed friends through junior high, through high school. Damien went off to go play football in college for a few years. Then he decided to go on vacation for a bit in the Middle East. Meanwhile, I stayed in school because I was working hard.
Such a terrible vacation destination.
I know. I mean, you make poor choices. That's all I'm going to say. Like, who chooses to vacation in Iraq?
I didn't know there was a war going on at the time. I didn't read the news. I'm not political.
And then after Damien got back from his moderately warm vacation in Iraq, while I was busy dealing with the real heat of Phoenix as a young archaeologist, eventually we both moved back to San Diego. I moved back from school. Damien moved back from his vacation for a while. Damien then stuck around San Diego for a while, ended up moving up to Sacramento. But of course, we kept in touch and eventually moved back down here. And that entire time, but when Damien was in Sacramento, even a little bit beforehand, I was doing my grad school work in science and the public and how to best educate the public about science. And I got the idea of a podcast. Now, this was 2009 or so. This was when I first started thinking about this. So this is kind of when podcasts were quite new.
Podcasts were all the rage then.
But Damien and I were longtime fans of guys like Adam Carolla. So we were kind of familiar with the idea of it. We didn't know how to do anything. I didn't know how to record sound or audio or do a podcast or do anything like that. So we didn't really know how to do it. But I started thinking that this would be a good way to get science out to the mainstream public. And so we started doing some experiments. And so going back, I actually got to see some of the old experiments. They're not online because these are things that we never ended up publishing. But
yeah, I was doing the Milgram experiments on me, like a real life, non-simulated pain Milgram experiment. I was screaming really loud and nobody was helping. How did that help the podcast at all?
You remember, Damien, at this point, I think this is 2010 or 2011, we are actually in different areas of the country, or at least different areas of the state. And so the Milgram experiment was just me going, okay, now punch yourself in the nuts harder. Is it good? All right, harder.
Hold on, wait, let me stop vomiting from the last punch. Just give me a minute. Damien, you said you'd be a part of this experiment.
So I knew I wanted to do a science comedy podcast, and I thought Damien would be a great person to do it with. Damien and I, obviously, we flow very well. We have good comedy back and forth, good repertoire and stuff. And, you know, he doesn't have a science background per se, but we don't necessarily need that. What would be better or more important is having something funny, and I can bring the science, and then we can do that. And then maybe, hey, let's include a different third person who can do science. But the first trials we did, we were literally in different parts of the state. I was in a van in the middle of the desert doing field work. And during this field work, I would live in a van. We were on 10-day rotation, so you'd have 10 days on, 4 days off. And I was living in a van in the middle of the desert on BLM land. And I would work for 10 hours during the day. Then I would go out to my van to go sleep, to set up camp and sleep. And we started doing the podcast at that point. Damien was in Sacramento, you know, 600 miles away.
Suffering an insufferable marriage. And so who had it worse?
That's true. And I would call him and I would have a little recorder, like a little DAT recorder. And I would wear a set of headphones when I called Damien and plug it into my phone. And I would put one set into my ear and then one set onto the mic of the recorder so that the recorder could pick up me talking and Damien responding to me. And I would call him up and basically flip through Nature and Science and Discover back when I had the hard copy magazines before this was a digital thing, and talk to Damien about these ideas. And then we would make jokes about them. And that's the very origin of this thing.
And when Bobby would call, we'd spend like hours on the phone, like teenage kids before cell phones and everything. But we'd just be joking and planning this podcast. And it was great because it was the only moment I could escape from my terrible marriage. And Bobby provided that. And so as we're playing this podcast, I don't know if you have a clip from that first original thing. There is a seething woman downstairs the entire time.
Yes. Just pissed as fuck. Like, she's angry about a bunch of things. One, she's angry that you are being distracted. Number two, because I knew your ex-wife, she's super pissed that you're laughing and happy. Like, that is irking her to no end.
Yeah, it's really like I married comically so like a villain wife from a comedy or something. Like, he's happy. We can't have that. But don't worry, there's more updates about her as we tell the story of the podcast.
So that's how it started, and it wasn't good. I'm not going to lie to you. It wasn't good. It was two friends telling a lot of inside jokes over the phone with shitty audio and a long delay and et cetera, et cetera. But I knew something was there. I could tell something was there, and I could also tell that nobody else was doing this. Nobody else really cared about giving people, you know, modern published science articles and doing so in a way that was entertaining. There was nothing like that. And so I saw the need, and I thought, you know what? Let's find a way to make this happen. So as time went on, I ended up getting a gig that was still out in the desert. That was insane. It was a 7-day a week gig, you know, 10 to 14 hours a day.
But somebody has to deal LSD.
Yes. It's amazing the overlap of, you know, archaeological fieldwork and dealing LSD.
There's honor in every job. If you're going to be a janitor, there's honor in that. Be the best damn janitor you could be. Same with LSD.
I feel like drug dealing seems like it would be a profitable business. And if I was doing it 15 hours a day, 7 days a week, wouldn't I be a billionaire by now?
Except you're doing it in the fucking desert, not where people live.
Just giving it to cactus.
It's a shitty commute. Let me put it that way.
So I was out there and I was so busy and so whatever that I really had time at work to be like, you know what? This, I'm working myself to death. I need to kind of focus on what's important. Of course, archaeology is always going to be important to me. It's always important to me to find prehistoric sites that I can later save. That's a big part of my life, and I will never stop doing that.
It's important to somebody.
But I want to get science out to the masses, and so it made me kind of look back at those tapes I had made with Damien and say, what's missing here? What can we do to make it better? And I realized I'm good with some sciences, but I know there's a lot of blind spots I have. What if we got in a professional scientist from a different field who wasn't in archaeology, was in a, you know, biology or physics or something like that, and get them to sit in? And that's when, you know, we got the idea of talking to both of our old friend and somebody I've known since I was like 5, which is Jackie, who came in as our very first host, co-host. She's a biomedical research scientist. She used to work here in San Diego, but had to move at some point, so she had to leave the show. But randomly, I think my one day off on that project or on a random Sunday, we all got together to have a big fun beach day, and we rented out a hotel room. And among the beaching and partying and all that stuff, we also recorded the very first trial episodes, like sitting on like a Mac G5 tower in the middle of a hotel room with shitty audio, no sound, USB mics, everybody's redlining the fucking mic. Sounds horrible, but I knew hearing it, holy shit, there is something here. Like, there's a back and forth, but you're learning something. You get, you know, 6 or 7 published science articles that got published that week in a single episode. Like, there's something here. I did not, however, have the technical acumen to really make this happen. I didn't know how to make a podcast. I didn't know how to record a podcast. I didn't know how to edit a podcast. I certainly didn't know how to do an RSS feed or broadcast it. And at that time, that information was not nearly as readily available, nor was the process as easy as it is now.
Ex-wife update to this story. After we had got done recording, I was really panicked about the drama because the room smelled like pot after the three of us. Two scientists and me got done smoking.
Yeah.
But I felt like I was about to get walked in on by the principal and the bathroom, and it smelled like pot.
So I knew something was there, but I also knew I couldn't do it. And so I went around looking for some help. And in those days, if you just typed in podcast, like, it was a pretty obscure thing. And I really couldn't find anybody who would help me produce it or could do it for me or teach me how to do it. And so I was kind of stumbling my way through when all of a sudden, almost kismet, I see an ad on Craigslist for a guy who says, I'm starting an internet radio station. I got the equipment. If you got a show idea, come to me. I can't pay you, but I'll record you and you could be on my internet radio station. And I was like, money, awesome, this is it. Now I should comment, and this should have warned me. My emails and text messages to that ad were returned a short 6 weeks later. So you can imagine, I didn't even know what was going on at that point. I had moved on. I'm calling up Guitar Center. I'm like trying to talk to guitar guys. I was like, can you teach me how to record a podcast? And they're like, get out of here, nerd.
Bobby, when you sort through the millions of emails that internet radio stations get daily. I'm sorry, Bobby, he couldn't get to you right away, Your Highness, but he had shit to do.
So this dude gets back to me 6 weeks later and basically says, hey, it sounds like you got a great idea for a podcast. How'd you like to try it out? And I said, oh, fantastic. I've been trying to contact other people in the interim. This is great. Yes, absolutely. Now, he had listed San Diego as his location. What he really meant was Escondido, which is about 35 to 40 miles north of us. But I said, you know what? This is our opportunity. We need to do it. I talked to Damien. I talked to Jackie. I said, hey, can we really make Science Faction happen? Can we go do it? Now, at the time, it was still an unnamed podcast, but can we still make this happen? Can we go do it? And they went, yeah, I think we can do it. Would you guys be willing to drive 35, 40 minutes? Yeah, I think we can. And so, sure enough, in short time, I think we had scheduled it for like a week and a half later, I had diligently written an episode, sent it to all you guys days ahead of time. We loaded up into a car and drove up to Escondido to meet a very interesting dude who had started his own quote-unquote internet radio station out of like a $300 a month artist studio in the second story of a loft in Escondido.
You know, looking back at that guy and what he did, like, this is a guy who's, and when you see him, he looked like a guy who was just hanging on by a thread.
Yes.
And to me, he said, you know what? I'm going to bet on myself. What's something that everybody needs? Internet radio. Yeah, I don't have the experience, the know-how, the drive, but God damn it, I have $300 my mom gave me.
And it really did seem like that. He had cobbled together a bunch of equipment that was clearly like hodgepodge together, and he had set it all up, but he had a recording space, and he had mics, and he had a soundboard, and he knew how to use all this shit. And so we show up and say, let's get going. He tells us we're going to be the flagship show, and I still remember this because this is something I think about a lot. I had put so much work into this. You know, this had been already kind of years in the making. We had tried and failed. We tried to get advice. We tried to do everything. And the one thing I didn't think about was the name of the show. And I'll remember this because the day we showed up for the first episode, we were just driving up and I was like, I guess we should think of a name. And we just started shooting names back and forth in the car. And Science Faction was really like 2 minutes into the discussion because the name was just not important. Like, the important thing was, let's do this show. And Science Faction just seemed like, oh, well, good enough. Let's just use this.
And you know what? I'm glad we did call it then, because we didn't know that like a couple weeks later, a couple of other, let's call them assholes, who were also high school friends, would start a podcast by the same name. So because we pulled the trigger on it,
yes,
in the car that day, we got it. It's ours.
I know, but now that I look back on it, like if I would look back to hindsight as 2020, I would have done a name that would have gotten us more listeners, because there are crap podcasts that are incredibly popular just because they have an interesting name. Like, we could have called it My Favorite Science Story, right? And then all of a sudden, at least from what I know of true crime podcasts, our C-minus product would get A plus amount of listeners.
Or Joe Rogan's True Crime Podcast. A parody.
So we kind of named it on a whim, went up there, recorded it, and we recorded 5 or 6 episodes. Now, these were aired live on his internet radio station, and then they would replay over and over again on a series, on like a loop with different shows. And then, like when we were going to show up for the 6th one, I was calling him up to make sure our timing was the same and stuff. And he was, I like heard him moving stuff in the background, and he goes, ah, Bobby, I got to level with you. I lost the studio. It's like,
no.
Bro, this is less than 2 months in. Like, what could have possibly happened? He's like, I don't know, man. I don't know. And I was like, what? You don't have a 6-week game plan?
Well, I mean, he may not know, but we knew.
Yeah.
We knew this wasn't permanent.
And so I was like, well, fuck, I don't want to watch this go away. You know, we've recorded 5 or 6 episodes and they're good and I want to go keep going with this thing. And so I basically said, like, well, what are you doing with all your recording equipment? And he said, well, I don't know. I guess I'm boxing it up. But I was like, how about I buy that off of you? And hence was the origins of Science Faction as an independent show. I literally went up to Escondido and bought this poor guy's equipment as he was sadly emptying everything out of this makeshift studio he had for 5 weeks. I bought it all, kind of got a basic lesson on how to run it, and took it home, as well as I got the audio copies of the files we had already made, and I began editing. Now, I didn't know how to edit. I didn't know how to use editing software. I didn't realize how long it is. And if you look back to those old episodes, they were like an hour and a half long each episode. So I started editing these 5 episodes that we had done in the can already. And I am not kidding you, because I still remember this to this day. I remember thinking, like, there's no way this can be feasible now. Each one of those episodes took me about 25 to 30 hours to edit.
Yep. A lesson I learned when I would scoff at your hardships and start a podcast a scant 4 years later.
But I did. I edited each one. It was mind-numbing. It made me go crazy, but eventually I edited them and I posted them. Now, looking back, and I advise you guys, they're available, go listen to episode 1. Listen to how shitty the sound was. It was utterly horrible. It was garbage sound. Though, and you will notice this, we still use the same intro and the same science articles intro because we recorded those. That sad internet radio guy actually recorded those for us on the day of our very first episode, and we still use that exact same audio clip to this day.
It's a good sign. But with Patreon, we can upgrade and get sexy voices. Like Antonio Banderas, I call BS.
It was just such a bizarre thing. Now when you listen to it, the sound is garbage. It's almost not listenable for the first 5 episodes. It immediately changes on the 6th episode when we switch locations and now have taken his equipment. Still bad, but it's listenable starting at episode 6.
I think the comedy and we've grown a lot as comedians as well. Less racy. And I say this as a guy who we were asked to choose our favorite articles for this Sebestov thing. And all of mine, I think, are about cum. So I know where I'm at.
You know what they say, like, write what you love.
I'm the Jeff Dunham of cum jokes, okay? My puppet is way grosser.
It is so bad. The comedy is bad. My hosting is horrible. I start the first episode with, like, well, I guess we're starting here. Let's talk about this. There's no enthusiasm. There's no back and forth. The dialogue is stinted. And that's when we're in the same fucking room as each other.
Do you know what episode the Mrs. Doubtfire came in?
No, I don't.
I'm just picturing, like, maybe you're editing one night, like episode 7, and Mrs. Doubtfire is on just in the background, just looping.
And then it just suddenly, it clicks with me. It was, they're super slow and plotting and really long and too much scripting and not enough ad-libbing, not enough funny, like, just bad. I don't advise listening to them to listen to them. I advise listening to them the same way people get together to watch the movie The Room, like, out of an ironic sense of this is so bad.
We still get hits on the feed.
We do. We absolutely do. It's a bizarre thing. I think people go back to listen just to either they're masochists or they want to see what's up.
They're hate listening.
But it's funny because going through all this stuff, I realized a bunch of funny stories I completely forgot. When you go back, or if you go back that far, you will notice we had a different logo back then. We switched logos a few times. This one is like a beaker and like 2 symbols of atoms next to it that's clearly looking like a dick and balls. And clearly. Then a gloved hand, like, wrapping around the beaker, and it's supposed to be a joke about masturbation. And I still remember, I went back far enough, I think it might be on the comments link for Podbean, there's somebody who commented, hey, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but your logo kind of looks like somebody masturbating. And, like, that's how new we were. We were so new that our listeners didn't get that we might be telling a jerk-off joke based on the content of our show.
I will give that guy 3 free Patreon subscriptions if he recommends that podcast to kids, because this guy clearly is a youth pastor or something. There's no way anybody who doesn't have fanatical religious beliefs did not just see a penis right off the bat.
Oh my God. So that was hilarious. Some funny things, like, I don't know, Damien, we talked about this a little bit before the show. I got into an on-air scuffle, so to speak, with Dr. Steven Novella from The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, a show I loved and copied some stuff from, emulated some stuff from. He got something wrong in one of their science or fiction things, which is why science or fiction is way worse than I call BS. But regardless, he got something wrong.
You get the human rights wrong and I call BS.
In my field of study, archaeology or human paleontology, he got something wrong about the existence of hominids in northwestern Europe at a certain time period. And I sent him an email and he refused to send, and he didn't respond, you know, because as I now understand, as somebody with a podcast that gets literally thousands of emails a week, I understand you can't respond to every single one of them. I didn't understand that at the time. I remember doing these episodes where I was like, talking about hating Novella and how I was going to get him and stuff. I didn't realize this started so early. It starts on episode 10. Episode 10, I am shit-talking StarTalk for not responding to my emails.
So we've really been on Novella Watch for 490 episodes. Novella Watch is still strong.
Yes.
You're still watching for that apology.
Yeah, that was great. We've had some weird things pop up over the time span. So what ended up happening is obviously the show was meant to be the three of us, myself, Damien, and Jackie. And at some point, Jackie had to basically move for work. And so she couldn't be involved in it anymore. And we had to start bringing on guests.
She couldn't be involved with the jokes that we, like, she was going to be unhirable. She actually had to move states if she wanted to remain a viable employee for whatever biotech company she was working for at the time.
Yeah, well, we started trying out different guest scientists at certain points to try people in, and weird things happen. Like, for instance, starting in episode 69, you guys can go look at this, I started... yeah, nice! I started noticing that there was another group starting to call themselves Science Faction. And I was like, hold on, man. I've tried to build up an audience. And by the way, at this point, like 60-whatever episodes seemed like a lot to me. How little I knew. And I was like, hey, I built up this audience. I've worked really hard. How dare you? I better talk to these people. And so I sent them a note. And these people turned out to just be some grad students from Canada who were working on our thesis. And they said, no, we're not going to, it's not an ongoing thing. This is just a podcast as part of our, you know, PhD or master's thesis. This is just for that, you know, can we please keep the name? Because we used it for our grant applications and stuff. And in that case, we're like, yeah, sure, totally. And not only that, I actually plugged them. If you listen to episode 69, I actually advise that you go and listen to theirs. I want to separate this from the D-bags Damien was talking about earlier, who are dudes who just talk back and forth. I don't even think it's about science. Is it about science fiction? Is that what their thing is?
No, that's the... They talk about, I've read a couple of descriptions of episodes. I refuse to give them the hit on the RSS feed.
Good.
But so I've never clicked select, but I believe they just like talk about stuff from like the Next Generation. I believe one of their latest episodes, because I wanted to, I knew you'd bring them up. They talked about Reggie from the Star Trek universe. And you chose the most boring fucking character from the Star Trek universe to have an episode. You know what?
I'll tell you what, it's funny you bring up Reggie, Damien, because later on in this episode, though it might be after the cut when it becomes 501, so it might be technically next episode, we're going to talk about the science of teleportation, which Reggie was very worried about, and so that is a legitimate callback.
Okay, so fine, Reggie was cool on that front.
And at the same time as we were kind of taking off and starting this ourselves as a separate project, Damien and I also got big into stand-up comedy. We had already, you know, started stand-up event, like on our own, Damien in Sacramento, myself in San Diego, when Damien moved down and we started the podcast, we really dove into it. And so this was a time where not only were we getting together to record this thing for hours once a week, but we were together probably three nights or more a week doing open mics. We ran our own weekly open mic. We went to at least two or three other ones every week together and stuff. So we were doing a lot of comedy, a lot of science talk. It was a fun time in our life, you know, except for Damien's horrible marriage. It was a really fun time in our life. Basically, all we did was comedy and science all the time because I had worked, you know, like I said, 7 days a week, 15-hour days. I was kind of taking it easy. I think I was working like 20-hour weeks or something. I was just doing a whole bunch of science, a whole bunch of comedy, and Science Faction really started flourishing. We started getting actual listeners. It was no longer just us and our friends. There were people we didn't know from other places and countries listening to us.
And then conversely, our life isn't just comedy and science now, because Bobby had to start a lovely marriage. Yeah. And Bobby has to waste his time raising a lovely child who's very precocious and just a real gem of a boy.
Yeah, we did all that, but that didn't
and
come
And you could be
much.
Hanging out with Coke doing dirt bags at an open mic, Bobby.
But that didn't come till much later. That we had a lot of interesting trials and tribulations. We still got to record sometimes from the Madhouse Comedy Club, which was great. We had our own little recording set up there for years. That was really fun. We had different offices that we would record in. Most recently, we had a studio that we only just recently shut down thanks to COVID, but that was going really, really well. We've recorded in different spots. Now we're recording in our own houses remotely, which is the first time we've done this. And eventually, I've heard this question a bunch of times, when are you bringing back the scientists? I tried a few things with some of our science guest hosts, some trial runs in August, and I gotta say, it's really hard to do. As you guys have just heard, Damien and I have known each other for an incredibly long time. It's hard for us to do because doing this type of thing, comedy and flowing and going back and forth online, is very, very difficult. It becomes more difficult when you don't know each other, and it becomes more difficult when you're just, you know, kind of with a scientist who doesn't know when to chirp in or how to get that done.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that Bobby and I have been doing this, talking, having fun for years, but yes, learning to do this on Zoom had its challenges. Like it really threw us off comedically for a while. Like, yeah. Bobby, and if you notice early on during the pandemic, Bobby and I, we aren't particularly proud of a lot of the episodes. We kind of, I mean, maybe it was fine for you guys and you guys didn't notice, but to us, it just kind of felt a bit off.
Yeah.
And as if you listen to Awful Neutral, you'll know that we all record remotely there. But if there's several more comedians, that means several more tracks. And from an editing standpoint, for Bobby to put out 3 episodes a week as he's been doing consistently while working full time and doing all that, if you were to add another comedian, that adds hours to Bobby's life. It's not like just one more track.
And it's really hard. It's really stop and go if you don't have somebody who's got a stage presence, who knows kind of when to jump in and when not to, and kind of how all this stuff works. And Damien, like he said, records his own podcast, so he kind of understands all this stuff implicitly. So we are going to be back with scientists. We just have to find a way to do it that's not going to make the show shittier. When that happens, we will bring people back. This is not going to be a 2-person podcast for long. This will be a weird thing that we are talking about in episode 1000, that weird time period where we did it with just 2 people.
Oh, yeah. Bobby misses Dr. Troy's kiss so yes. bad. Bobby, like, yes. Bobby wants Dr. Troy in the studio bad. Dr. Nick, he's a sexy, sexy man, and uh-huh. Bobby will take that any day, but Dr. Troy is where his heart is at.
Eh, I'm a bit of a Bill man myself, I gotta say.
I'm a Bill man. You stay away from Bill. Bill's mine. I have Bill and Ian.
Well, that's a great transition, Damien. So let's get into Out of Our History, which is going to continue going and will be really interesting. You know, it's seen us go through a lot of stuff in our lives. But let's go into our hosts and some of our favorite host moments. So like I said, we started with Jackie, and the whole idea was that this was supposed to be a 3-person podcast with Jackie. But when she left, we had to scramble around and find a bunch of different hosts. And all of these people have different science backgrounds. They're all our scientists, so to speak. And so some of them I would get through contacts with places like the Reuben H. Fleet or biotech companies. You guys might remember, if you listen to some of the earlier episodes, Bio Mike or Naomi, both of which are people I've met through board member seats on the Reuben H. Fleet, who, Menches, by the way,
both of them,
amazing people who, by the way, got married to each other and are like 3 weeks away from having their first baby. I just saw that. We just gave them a COVID distanced wedding shower 2 days ago. So they are, she's about to burst, and they are amazing people who were fantastic guest hosts for a while. You can go back and listen to them.
That was a love connection. That was actually our love connection episode where we had all of our, we played the dating game with a bunch yes. of our science. And like, it turns out Mike and Naomi went on their date. Love happened right here on Science Faction. Yep, I'm just kidding. So, they knew each other long before. But...
No, he's being honest, and so did Bill and I. That is...
You stay away from Bobby. Bill will drive this podcast apart. Do not let him do that.
But what was funny is during this period, we were just looking around, and I didn't know quite how to vet people. I also, this is in my naivete, I didn't think anybody would claim to be a scientist without actually being a scientist, which it turns out... it turns out people will. So we started, we had a series of people listening back to these episodes. Damien and I were just talking about this. It's crazy. I literally don't remember who some of these people are. There are names that are like, hey, and this new person is in this. I'm not going to name them because I don't want to insult them or anything, but I'm like, I have no recollection of who this person is, and what they said is completely unmemorable.
I think one person was like an artist or something, now that you're mentioning it, but yeah.
We have a few of these people come in. We even have a guy who's also a stand-up comedian, who's also a very legitimate scientist. I don't know if you remember Manish. Damien, do you remember Manish?
Yes, Manish Gupta.
Yeah, he's awesome dude. I think he's off doing grad work in the Northern California now. He's a very, very awesome dude. And we have some very legitimate people come in. But then, one day, while we are thankfully doing this recording at Madhouse and not my own personal home, a guy who claims to be an engineer shows up, and... about 6 minutes into the episode, I realize this dude is batshit crazy. And he's sitting across from us. We're in a deserted comedy club in the middle of a day on a Saturday. And there is a crazy dude sitting across the table from me and Damien. and I still have a good hour worth of show left to get through, and I'm not sure quite how to do it.
Tell me, if the Bobby of today, would you just ended the episode right then and just scheduled something for the next day? Like,
no,
would you
the Bobby of today has a much more thorough process to vet people so that the crazy guy doesn't show up in the first place. Like, the Bobby of today asks for references and gets people like that. I know a lot of people in the scientific community here, so I usually just put a feeler out. Hey, do you know anybody who might be right for this? And then, you know, somebody from a museum or a biotech company will give me a name, or one of our other scientists will give us a name. And we brought this guy in. He was batshit crazy, nutty conspiracy theorist. It felt like a Trojan horse, like somebody had snuck into the bastion of science to bring in their anti-vaxxer nuttiness.
I remember, like, you and I had there was some look. It was, you had said something like, well, doctors are saying this, and then, like, he just kind of interrupted. Yeah, but, you know, doctors lie. And like Bobby and I just we had our, like, you can't see, it's an audio medium, but if you were listening to the audio clip, it'd be like somebody had just said the N-word in front of us and our faces just kind of went blank. Like, what?
I've only had one other time like this. It happened to also be in the Madhouse Comedy Club. It was where I was recording a comedy podcast, The Degenerates, and I was recording with two other comedians. And the person we were interviewing was a light heavyweight MMA fighter / enforcer for a biker gang. And he was telling us about we were discussing MMA, and very recently, an MMA fighter called War Machine, who's a total sociopath, was arrested for beating his girlfriend, and I mean this quite literally, almost to death. Broke many of her bones.
Yeah, Google War Machine.
This guy did just horrible things, like just an absolute monster of a human being, and hurt this woman very badly. He's now in jail for life for it. Almost killed her. I think almost hurt somebody else too. Horrible person. And the 205-pound MMA fighter / biker enforcer, who has, by the way, not only arm, not only chest, not only neck, but full head tattoos. Yes, around and encompassing his head. He says to us at some point, well, you know, she was kind of asking for it. And me and the other host look at each other and go, all right, yeah, totally. Yeah, it's just, yeah, okay. That's the only other moment I felt like, well, this can only go wrong for standing up for what I believe in. Let's just go along with it and get the crazy person the fuck out of Madhouse.
Yeah, except he was like that kind of crazy unstable. Yes. And like violent, you know, like, for example, you were somebody who is an amateur, I'd say a martial arts enthusiast. You were a boxer of some skill in college. Ryan Shores, who's your podcast host on the show, also was an amateur MMA fighter. Yeah. And I saw pictures of the dude you interviewed. And I am a 250-pound combat veteran who does not consider himself afraid of many people. But that dude, I think, could have taken all of us in the room. Just
he could have, and he had the air that he was about to at any given point. And so we just nodded our heads and went, yeah, she must have deserved it. Sure. And then as the show ended, Ryan goes, you're going to edit that out, right? And I was like, you don't even have to ask. I've already been editing in my head. I did the same thing with the crazy guy in Madhouse. I was already editing my head. No joke. When we finally released that episode, at that point, I'd gotten the editing down to a manageable about 5 hours per episode. And that episode took, I think, 12 and a half hours because I had to edit around this guy's craziness, and it was utter craziness and hard to edit around. And then eventually, I didn't realize this till now when I was going back to go find it. I was like, how come I can't find this episode? I actually ended up taking the episode down. The description of it is still up, but I took the episode down and linked the next episode to it. So now, like, that was episode 86. Now, if you go back and listen to episode 86, it's actually episode 87. It even says it in the beginning. Manish is the host. It's not the crazy guy. The crazy guy episode got taken down. So what I want to do here is...
Patreon.
Yes, it will be on our Patreon, will be the crazy guy episode, including some unedited versions of the crazy guy episode, so you guys can hear a little bit of what we're dealing with, because I kept the unedited version of that particular thing. And let me tell you, that guy's nuts as shit.
Yeah. I'll edit it. So wait, all my anti-Semitic jokes are still in it? Bobby, come on, I need you to at least, maybe you need to hit the cutting room floor for a little bit.
A little bit after that, we started
getting...
I'm
going on Israel rant, sorry.
A little bit after that, we started getting some more regular hosts, including, that's when we started debuting Dr. Ava, who still, you know, occasionally pops in, who we love to death. Dr. Ava, who's not only a host, but, you know, kind of became part of her life. So, you know, I helped her move and we see her kids and stuff like that. And haven't had her in studio for a bit because she's been busy for a while. She was, you know, doing stuff with school away and stuff, but
Mom
we will
stuff,
have her
man.
Back. Yeah, still love her to death, and has given us some great science faction moments. Listening back to some of the Dr. Abe episodes, oh, just fantastic, especially because sometimes she just can barely tolerate our bullshit. Like, just Barely.
I am shocked. There are some episodes I'm like, well, that's the end of Dr. Ava. She's not going to want to come back.
Oh, dear. And then we started getting in a regular guy who was also another stand-up comedian who'd come to our shows all the time and do comedy with us, who I actually thought was quite funny and had a PhD in physics. That was Seb Tawa. And Seb was a great guest host. In fact, for a while, he seemed to be the heir apparent. Damien and I were talking, maybe he should be just kind of the permanent guest host. He has a lot of good jokes and everything like that. Now, Seb had a bit of a reputation in the comedy community for being a bit of a misogynist.
So we're finally dishing about Seb, by the way. Yes. So everybody, like, this is about to be science dish.
Well, everybody has asked us what happened to Seb. Why did we stop having Seb on? For a while, he was essentially the permanent guest host. And he had that reputation. And I didn't necessarily like that reputation, but also he kept it off the show. And I kind of have a philosophy of whatever you do in your private life is what you do in your private life. And if you come here and you bring the science and you bring the funny, that's what I care about. And he did that, and he did that very well. And he didn't let that conflict. And so for a long time, we thought that was going to be it. That was going to be it. Now, one of the reasons I did start this, I also wanted to promote women in science. One of the reasons Jackie was our science guest host, and we picked a lot of female guest hosts, including Dr. Ava and quite a few others in the beginning, was to promote women in science. So I wasn't super excited that we weren't going to do that. But he was really good at his job, and you got to take what you can get. And so we were doing that for a while, and Seb was doing really well. And then the misogyny started creeping into the show. Now, you know, Damien and I, we love a good misogynistic joke. Hell, we're not going to hate on that at all. But only when they're jokes. And I think the line started getting blurred for us where we're like, hold on, man, hold on, wait. Are you saying this because it's funny? Or are you saying this because you believe it to be true?
Yeah, I think when we make a misogynistic joke, the joke is on us. Like, the joke is clearly we're the bad guy. That's the joke. What type of monster would say this or have this opinion?
Yes.
His were less jokes and more like punching down. Like, well, with inferior upper body strength, you'll have to understand, women. And that's fine. Bobby did a great job editing out a lot of that stuff. You didn't hear it. So you didn't hear that. And there were some really awkward conversations because we were his Facebook friend and he would plug his YouTube channel. I'm not even going to plug it now.
Yes.
But he would plug his YouTube channel. And it was just him going on these super sexist rants. And then it got to the point where after each episode, there'd be this awkward conversation where Bobby was forced to plug it.
Yes.
And he did. And then one day a fan got back to us. And we're like, well, that's the end of Seb. We can't.
Yeah, they literally said, have you seen this? And it was a clip to one of his most recent video, and it was just like a bridge too far. And I was like, I can no longer separate what he does on the show and what he doesn't. And also what he doesn't do on the show has started leaking in because I had to start editing around him too much and it became too much of a task. And eventually I will remember the day it was a mixture of what Damien just said, the fan talking to us. And also, I don't know if you remember this, Damien, us leaving Madhouse Comedy Club and him going, you guys know those Cosby chicks are lying, right? And like Damien and I gave a look and we're like, okay, I think we're done.
Yeah. So, man, he was a big fan of the show. Nothing's going to change him. Big fan of Puddin' Pops.
And so we continued on our host search. And then we kind of thought, you know what? I like this circulation. We get different experts in. We get different opinions. I like having regular people, but multiple regular people to come in and kind of try their hand at it. We've had, like we said, Dr. Ava, our buddy Ian, Dr. Nick, the astronomer, Dr. Troy, Dr. Robert, Connor, Bill. There's been a bunch. Alyssa came by. Alyssa, who I know from the Reuben H. Fleet. Margot Wall, who's the host of KPBS's Rad Scientist. Yeah, she came in and did a couple episodes. That was fantastic. Still see her all the time. She shows up to Nerd Night all the time.
Nikki Fuchs did a few episodes.
Yeah, she came in. We had a guy, Tim Lee, who is... He has a PhD, but also had a little bit of nuttiness around vaccines and stuff, so I kind of had to cut him loose.
But he's also a science educator. Rock on.
Yes.
I mean, if you ignore that, let's ignore the other part. But hey, but yeah, you know what? He says a lot of good things, too.
Yes. Yeah, true. True. And one of my favorite stories, though, was somebody who contacted me and she's like, I do science and I do comedy and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not from there, but I'd like to come and do an episode. And I was like, well, we don't do remote episodes. And she said, well, actually, I'm going to the Bay Area at some point. I can just stop by. And I was like, well, it's not that close. But If you really want to, sure. If you, I mean, I can't really pay you, and like, I don't know about like hotel stays or anything, but like, if this is really important to you, sure. And she goes, well, can I crash on your couch? And I said, yeah, not a problem. Totally. If this is what you're into and you're paying your own plane flight, sure. And so sure enough, she flew in. I picked her up from the airport, and she came to my house, and a very nice young lady, seemed quite flirtatious. So like, I kind of pointed out like, hey, we're in my house that I live in with my girlfriend. Here's like some pictures of her and stuff. She's like, yeah. And she was still in. She's like, your girlfriend's hot. And I was like, oh, interesting.
I see.
We taped the episode, had some, that was great. And then we went out later. My wife and I took her out for drinks, and like, she was definitely pushing for something to happen between the three of us. And to this day, I still give my wife shit about not allowing that offer to be taken up. I'm still like, hey, come on. When do we get this chance again?
Listen, sweetie, I'm just saying, if Paul Rudd ever comes up to you and I flirty,
yeah,
and ask if we'd like to join him in the bedroom, I'm not going
to
be you.
I mentioned this to my wife as I was preparing this episode. I was like, hey, you remember that that busty girl we talked about? Like, remember that? And she was like, yeah, that girl was crazy, hun. Like, that would have been crazy. And I was like, I wasn't trying to marry her. Like, yeah, the crazy is the good in this situation.
she wasn't the limiting factor here.
So we have had just this whole host, a whole bunch of hosts, a bunch of guys that I probably haven't even listed or named and stuff. Just so many amazing people have come through. We have found some fucking gems. Like, who would have thought that guys like Dr. Troy, who on paper should be too nerdy to talk, like, Dr. Troy is legitimately in the top 0.01% of intelligence of people you will meet in your lifetime. And this is coming from somebody who has, you know, done a lot of grad work over at Berkeley and done stuff everywhere around people way smarter than myself. Dr. Troy is the cream of the cream of smart people. He should not be as conversationally funny and as social as he is. And we pulled that gem out. We got that Dr. Troy out of there. And by the way, since then, he's blown up on Twitter and like does his own science Twitter thing now and helps educate the public. So continues going. And like guys like Dr. Nick, same deal. Like Dr. Nick, first of all, when you hear us talking about him being a Viking, he looks like a motherfucking Viking. He's a giant, tall, redheaded, super muscular dude who somehow has a PhD in astrophysics and just fucking looks at the stars and builds telescopes all day.
He looks like Tormund Giantsbane from Game of Thrones, the redheaded dude, except taller and therefore sexier.
Yes. Yeah. And like more ripped. Like they're both big dudes, but Dr. Nick's got less body fat.
Yeah. Dr. Nick drinks less. He lives a good lifestyle. He exercises regularly. Oh yeah. If Tormund Giantsbane had Henry Cavill's body, and this is me and my science fiction fan fiction, I write a lot of erotica based on our science guests, and so I can describe any of them sexually. Let me do Ian now.
Ian is fucking fantastic. Ian's great because he's bioinformatics. And if you looked at Ian, no offense, Ian, if you looked at Ian, you'd be like, that guy's super nerdy and won't be funny at all. And then you listen, you're like, Ian's a fucking hilarious. Ian has so many great jokes on our show that listening through, he is one of the funnier people who have come into our studio.
Yeah, I love the way he handles some of my more outrageous moments. It's like it's a sharp, dry wit, almost like he's British. It's great.
We got Bill and Connor, who are two buddies from my alma mater, Berkeley, and those guys are fucking fantastic too. Bill is great because Bill is like a caricature of what a PhD like researcher from Berkeley would be like. He shows up in flip-flops with varying degrees of beards. He always looks
sweating.
Like, yeah, he always looks like he just came from the hacky sack competition. He used to do this thing where he would drive over in his car with the heat on in the middle of the summer just to sweat it out because he likes sauna. Like, he's just the most eccentric Berkeley person you will meet.
So he would like show up to these recordings in our hot ass studio. You know, we got great sound, but you know, we couldn't have the AC going, and we recorded some hot days, and he would show up. I wouldn't know that he had just turned his car into a sauna, but he's like just dripping sweat with a big smile on his face. 30 minutes into recording, me who has a crazy sweaty problem, just dripping and like just looking at him like, I hate you. How dare you sit there with a smile on your face, you piece of shit. I love your comedy, and you're a delightful man.
And then Connor, my favorite part about Connor is that Connor would always get pissed about losing I Call BS or like missing a question or something on I Call BS, and he'd get really mad about it. And part of it became a funny joke between me and Damien to see how much we could egg him on about missing something.
Yeah, Connor is by far the most competitive of the scientists that we have. Yeah. And like, he's like, no, listen, it's like when somebody gets into the WWE ring, is like, I'm going to win this. Yeah, I know it's in the script. You're going to win. Nah, man, this guy's going down.
We've had Dr. Robert in. Dr. Robert, who was the head of the March for Science and continued to come on this show as I ragged on the March for Science brutally. I like went to the failure of a march and took pictures of how bad it was and posted it online, and he still showed up to the thing 2 months later. I fucking love Robert. He's great as well. Like, we have just had an amazing amount of luck to have all these great people in. They've been fucking fantastic. Another kind of weird one that you guys might listen to. Now, I don't want to speak bad about this guy. He is clearly trying, but those of you guys who have listened to it have asked me questions about it, and so I finally have to talk about it. We did once have a guest host in that I was recommended by somebody else, and he came in as a scientist who was promoting a program to teach other scientists how to speak publicly. And I thought, perfect, that's kind of what I do, except I'm teaching people how to learn science, and I'm doing it in a colloquial fashion. You're trying to get people to speak in a colloquial fashion. This is great. This will overlap. You're my type of scientist. And then when he came in, we realized that, like, even though his goal was to teach scientists how to speak more casually so that your average person could understand them, he did speak kind of like a 1980s speak and spell, where you, like, type things in.
I thought it was Sacha Baron Cohen for a second. I was like, no, this is too on the nose. No. We do a lot of jokes about NASA and common afflictions that a large amount of their computing staff would have. It was no joke. Like, if you would ask me to write an awkward bit about a comedy science podcast and then have one of those, they interview a NASA scientist. It was very quick apparent at the beginning, like, okay, no train jokes today. No jokes about eating trains today.
Yeah, that's a good way to put that. That was an incredibly awkward one. And then he kept asking me for weeks later, hey, are you going to plug my program? And I didn't have the heart, like, I didn't know how to craft an email to say, like, bro, your guest appearance on the podcast is kind of the anti-commercial for your program. I don't think anybody who heard it is going to buy the $400 program that you have.
I remember, like, just leaving, like, okay, what would a clean comic do? What would a clean comic do? Damn it. Why have I wasted all this time in my comedy dojo? I've done untold amounts of sets. I could have practiced a clean set at least once.
Oh, man. I was looking for good host clips, Damien, and I found a few. So I want to do this first one. This is a fan request one as one of their favorites, and this comes from MBA Kirkland, who's been an old-time fan of ours. MBA Kirkland sent this one of Dr. Troy getting a nice off-the-cuff joke.
But the Millennium Prize problems were a collection of problems proposed by this big mathematics institute in 2000. Big, outstanding questions in the field of math or physics that would, you know, be...
How do we get laid?
Well, no matter how much math I throw at this, it doesn't seem to be solving the problem.
That was too hard. They didn't include that one.
Accurate.
Yes. I do like this. This is one of the things where Dr. Troy shines, where he's in the middle of something. He's clearly trying to explain something. You throw in a joke, and I feel like he almost does it because you've annoyed him. He just throws in his own. Fantastic.
He tolerates me very well.
Yes, he
tolerates
really does.
Me very well.
Which actually leads me to my favorite ever Dr. Troy quote, and this is when Dr. Troy, let's just say his enthusiasm got a little bit ahead of him when he finds out that Damien lost. I call BS. Bad science. Congratulations, Damien, for the first ever win.
It's not true. I've won many times.
You don't need to be a sore winner on this. I am just going to congratulate you and say we are all very proud. Not only did you win, you beat the best there is, Dr. Troy.
Doesn't that make me the best there is?
That does make you the best there is. You are now the I Call BS champion, and I would like to award you a belt and all of the praise and respect that go along with that.
I'm waiting. Where's the trap?
I am just complimenting you. You did a great job, and I think we all need to recognize that you have stepped up your game. You've evolved as a person. You are getting better answers. All of this is good. I'm just very proud of you. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah. Just Bobby and I planned this. Just wait till you see what he busts out now.
Cautiously, I say thank you.
Okay, you are welcome. Wait, hold on. The pairs that I got that last one wrong, it actually was science, meaning that the win goes to Dr. Troy.
Yes.
Damn, I was actually.
Yes.
Fuck you, Damien.
That's right.
I want a sound clip of that. I want a sound button.
I was ready to eat shit, but no. You eat shit.
You eat shit, Damien. You eat it. You're the worst. Everybody hates you. Oh, my God. Kayla, you took credit for that win. You didn't even win, you piece of shit.
I was so generous in my win.
Oh, my God.
You were gloating.
Oh, my God. This is. I know we talked before the previous episode about watching punishment and feeling good about it. This is that right now. Oh my God, indeed, you idiot. So this was science.
Say what you want. I consider that a victory. That is
great. That is one of my all-time favorite science faction moments. As it was happening, I just remember thinking, like, because that was also, you know, we didn't know Dr. Troy nearly as well as we now do. And so that was one of the things of watching him break a little, like watching the facade of the Caltech PhD kind of wither away as he was, like, just back into being a competitor.
I beat the idiot, the loud idiot. I beat him.
Oh, that was a fucking great one. That was absolutely fantastic. I know we're only doing Troy clips right now. Don't worry, we have plenty of other clips coming in the
later.
Yeah,
Bobby's going to play some Joe Rogan clips later. Just only people who give him erections.
Another one that MBA Kirkland also put in was Dr. Troy and me. You can go back and look at an episode called Don't Talk About Teleportation. And there's a great argument that Dr. Troy and I have about whether or not teleportation is killing you and not. And what's interesting is, again, I am 100% gonna tell you, Dr. Troy is a much smarter man than I am. Dr. Troy is a much more educated man than I am. And in terms of the physics aspect, I am always gonna defer to him. I still believe he's wrong on this, and so do a lot of physicists, because this is not just a question of physics. This is kind of a logic and philosophy question, which is what I was trying to get at. If you listen to that debate, you'll kind of hear us talk back and forth. There are some issues. This is about whether or not teleportation is going to kill you and just recreate you and make a copy, or if that copy is actually you, if you're being teleported. Now, Dr. Troy is obviously very physics heavy, and he's a big fan of like Sean Carroll. And if you look at Sean Carroll's writings on this, even Sean Carroll doesn't go as far as Dr. Troy does, actually. Even Sean Carroll, when
your
he
phone is going to blow up right now, it's going to be Dr. Troy just instinctively mad.
He will. I will send him the link to Sean Carroll's description of this, because he doesn't go as far as Dr. Troy. His version is more of like, well, who cares what it is? Who cares? It's indistinguishable. Dr. Troy's is like, no, you're not dying. You're being teleported. I disagree. I think you are violating one of
Prime Directive.
No, not the Prime Directive. We have these three fundamental laws of logic and reasoning. It's basically the basis for all logic, all reasoning, and therefore all science, by the way, including physics, Dr. Troy. And those three laws are...
Zing.
Those three laws are identity, non-contradiction, and excluded middle. And without getting into a big rhetorical thing, I think I have a bit more of a background in rhetoric and philosophy than Dr. Troy, and so I think I look at this from a different perspective. And you are essentially defying identity in this, because identity is A equals A, and what you're saying is a copy of A equals A, and that's not true for many reasons. And even if the thing is indistinguishable, it's not a continuum of consciousness. So, like, if I teleported Damien, i.e. broke him up and made a copy of him elsewhere, the Damien that's sitting there in front of me is still gone, even though there's an exact copy. And a good way to think about this is I can just as easily make two copies, right? And the fact that there can be two copies means that that second Damien, let's call him Damien Prime is not the same as original Damien. They're different things, because one can by nature be duplicated and doubled, not to mention the fact that it's made of different atoms in a different area. The fact that it's materializing in a different area by definition changes Damien, right? Because the Damien sitting in front of me isn't also in Kathmandu. And so if I teleport him to Kathmandu, I have changed what it is to be Damien by having a Damien in Kathmandu. And I've changed what it is to be Damien, including the identity of what Damien is, because I can now make two Damiens or 1,000 Damiens, and all of those would contradict a lone Damien the way he is here, who cannot have two or three or four copies of him. So, like, I agree completely with Dr. Troy on the physics of it. You are indistinguishable. It's an indistinguishable copy. That copy would be the same as the original to its own knowledge and everything like that. I disagree with him on the philosophical concept, because I do still believe you are violating the notion of identity in that A equals A, and at that point, A is not A.
Question, how come Damien Prime, and not original Damien, gets to have a Batman Begins type ninja training in Kathmandu?
Or you're just like, you're selling monkeys at a bazaar. Who knows? Who knows what you're up to?
Both fun. Both fun.
They actually do both sound. You know what? I feel like both of those things are things that Bill could do too.
And also I'd be the village giant.
Yeah, probably. All right, guys, we are going to continue this, but we will do so in the next episode. So I hope you like this so far. The next episode's going to have a lot more clips, so get ready for that. Might be a bit longer because of that, but we are going to go ahead and cap this episode off. It's already going to take me a shit long time to edit it and hopefully get this out to you this week. But please stick around because we're going to come on back in a few days with 501, which is basically just the second half of this, where we're going to talk all about our favorite overall moments, old bits that we've done, including a bunch of the ones that we haven't brought up in a long time. Damien, anything to say for the end of our 500th, our milestone 500th episode?
Thank you so very much, guys, not just for listening all the way through this walk down memory lane, but for supporting us. You know, if you had told me when we started this that 500 episodes in the year 2000, during the apocalypse, during a joke, you know, as our government and environment and everything was falling or down around us, that we would keep it together enough to produce a 500th episode in spite of everything, I wouldn't have believed you. Thank you very much for supporting us, guys. It's so humbling, and from the bottom of our heart, we can't thank you guys enough.
Yeah, absolutely. We have literally hundreds of thousands of listens on Podbean. We have more than 5,000 subscribers on Podbean. It's amazing what this has become. We have listeners in literally like well over 100 countries every week, which is a crazy thing to me. Like, it's weird to me that somebody in Liberia is listening to this. I'm always a little curious. I'm like, what the fuck is going on with that guy in Liberia? And like, it's just always, it is a weird thing to be connected to this many people. And it's so great to hear from them. I mean, we're going to talk a little bit next episode about some of our fans and fan interactions, but we literally talk to people around the world all the time, and it's amazing because it feels like we have this community and this family of people who are interested in science dick jokes.
You know what? The America ship is sinking. The Titanic is going down.
Yeah.
You know, if we could become celebrities in Finland or something, like podcast celebrities.
Dude, I'm still going for Denmark. I visited Denmark once. It was such a chill-ass place. So you Danish people, start promoting this over there. And if there's enough Danish listeners, we will do a tour of Denmark. I've always wanted to do that.
We're free agents at this point. Who's serious about an offer?
Yeah, we're like one of those people with dual citizenships who is a really good young athlete, and both sides of the Olympics want them. They're like, no, you're going to figure skate for us.
If only the Cayman Islands, there's like islands for banking, you know, like the Cayman Islands and stuff. If there was like a podcast nation, a nation that said gives insane tax breaks to podcasts and even has like subsidizes people just starting podcasts in the country.
Oh, this is going to be great. You guys, we are really going to get into the best of the best starting in this next episode. We're going to talk about our favorite, like I said, our favorite all overall moments. And there are some fucking great ones because I have listened to about 100 some odd episodes in the last week. We're going to talk about some of the things we have started that I am still surprised I know about that are very interesting that I haven't even heard about anywhere else. We're going to talk about, like I said, some of our old bits and some of our fan stuff. Thank you guys so much. Please keep listening. When you can, tune into that Patreon. And until then, go ahead and go check out those back episodes for free right now. But until then, we'll see you later for Science Faction 501.
This has been a strong argument in philosophy for the past 75 years.
We haven't had a good like one-off special episode. I'd like to see the debate where both of you...
We will bring the teleporter shit in.
This is, I mean, I'll
get all Hume on you.
I'll bring in actual quantum physics professors.
Great.
And they will
bring them in. Bring them in, and I will explain to them what a copy means.
You are an archaeologist. You do not...
Yes, I will.
You do not get to explain quantum physics.
I will.
And Bobby, oh, fine, then I'll bring my archaeologist professor. And as soon as he brings him in, Dr. Troy and his professor just start laughing.
We will also explain why Denisovans suck.
God damn it! Now I know you're wrong!
You've been listening to Science Function. Wait, that's not right.